I don't know about you, but it's one of those mornings where you just want to stay in that mode of worship. And I just want to say thanks to the worship team. Because when we come to church, that's all we want to do. I want to worship Jesus. I want to worship Almighty God. I want to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. I feel I've been brought there this morning. So I do want to say thank you. And something happens. When I'm worshiping, nothing else comes to mind. It's gone. I just want to focus on Jesus Christ. And you brought us to that place this morning. I really do want to say thank you. It's one of the special mornings. The last few weeks we've been looking at the I Ams of Jesus. Before Abraham was I Am, and Dave brought in that whole thing, that whole idea that Jesus just says I Am, and all that encompasses, and drew that back to that passage in Exodus where Moses wants to see the glory of God and God just says who he is. Then we looked at the I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. And this morning I'm looking at I am the way, the truth and the life. And we felt it's right to go through these I Ams of Jesus because over this last year, you'll have noticed, just prior to this, we looked at the whole area of faith. And we had quite a summer period looking at the whole area of faith. And then prior to that, we looked at our identity in Jesus Christ. And all those themes together, really, we are who we are in Jesus. We have faith in Jesus because of who he is. The I Ams. Who Jesus is. Dave said right at the start of the meeting, his worthiness, his ability defines us. That's who we are because of who Jesus is. So we're going to look at this morning, John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 6. And Jesus starts off, he's been talking about, prior to this, about his death, and then he comes in and says to the disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be, that you may be with me where I am. And he says, you know the place to where I'm going. And this wonderful verse, this word from Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So I want to start off by saying from this verse that Thomas said in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking of a time I got lost. Have you ever been lost? Yeah. Well, we lived in Bracknell at the time. We were going to the Beacon Church, and we had house groups all around the area. And because the church was in Camberley, obviously a lot of the house groups were around the Camberley area. And this particular house group that we were invited to go along to, a new house group to start in, was in Windlesham, just on the outskirts of Bagshot there. Now, it's great now. We set off in our car. Now, the cars in those days, I don't even know if you had electric windows. I think we had to wind them down. So there certainly wasn't a sat-nav, is really what I'm saying. So we got directions to go to the house, and fine, you know, up to the traffic lights, turn left, the roundabout, blah, blah, and we get the house, no problem. Wonderful. Dead easy. Great. Because it's evening, it's light. Now then, the meeting ended. I have to get back home. Now, what came to mind was, there's a house, as we were driving towards our friends, and they had this lovely yacht in the window. This model yacht. Oh, it's lovely, that. So we drive past the yacht on the right-hand side, I'll go round about, I'll go somewhere else, and somehow I'm coming back, and there's a yacht on my left-hand side. I think, turn round, we go back, it's on the right-hand side, and I don't know how many times I saw that yacht. Now, it took us round about 15 minutes to get to the house. It took us nearer 45 to get home. We didn't know the way. We'd never been that way before. Now, maybe that's you this morning. Something's happened. A relationship. A job. Finances. Health. Some other change in your life. I've never been in this situation before. I don't know what to do. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus said, I am the way. It's Jesus who guides us. It's Jesus who teaches us, who helps us, who shows us a way to live life, to enjoy life, to be fulfilled in life, to be satisfied in life. Jesus shows us a way to live before a holy, holy God as individuals, to live before God in relationship with others, to live before God in relationship with our family, with our neighbours, our work colleagues. But in a sense, verse 6 leaves us with a choice. It's either my way, someone else's way, or Jesus' way. Because if you're anything like me, you know we're bombarded right throughout life with individuals, adverts, the media and so on, trying to persuade us to follow their way. Their way of living, their way of behaving, how to react or treat others. And so often it is self that is always encouraged to be promoted, protected or pampered. And often that will be at the detriment of others. When we choose this selfish way of living, I'm going to call it selfish, the outcome for others is very often exclusion, hurt, or even rejection. When I choose Jesus as the way, the way to live, the way to behave, rather than exclusion and rejection of others, I offer a welcome, an acceptance, a smile, a friendly voice. And instead of hurt, I will value people, treating them with dignity, decency, and above all, the love of Jesus Christ. Not revenge. Not a broken heart, not a broken spirit, being all but left but destroyed, but forgiveness, which leads to acts of mercy, acts of kindness, bringing peace, seeking to encourage and build them up. And Jesus is the way in that Jesus reveals God to man. he who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus reveals who God is. He's the creator of all things. He's the life-giving power. A God who is holy. A God who is magnificent. A God who is awesome. A God full of love. A God full of mercy. A God full of compassion. A God full of grace. And Jesus also shows a way for man to access God. Not by man's efforts, striving somehow to be a better person. I can remember years ago, as a youngster, you know, we had to try and do certain things because God wouldn't like it. And it's almost like striving to be a good person. And somehow I'd be acceptable to God because I hadn't done bad things or something. No, but through the love of God expressed in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus is a way to life. Jesus is a way to enjoy life. Jesus is a way to be fulfilled in life. And Jesus is the way to be satisfied in life. That's what Jesus wants. And when this life is finished, Jesus is the way to eternal life. I am the truth. That's what Jesus said. So often I'm faced with untruth, downright lies, and deception. And it gets me. You must have had the phone calls like I have. Hello? Oh, I understand you've been in a car accident. I think, no, I haven't. You know darn well I haven't been. I know it, and you do. It's a lie. It's a lie. Maybe you've wanted some work to be done on the house, a car, whatever, and you've been disappointed. You've been deceived because it's not turned out quite as you was hoping, or at the price you thought you'd agreed, or within the time scale you thought you'd agreed. You look at the newspapers or news items. I can remember one particular thing, going back many years now, I can remember way back when I was at Bracknell Family Church, the Kerry Centre, with Ben Davies. And the press was all, we just opened this brand new building, and the press was there interviewing Ben, and not only asking about the money, about the finances, how it was raised, but also some of his beliefs. Now, what they printed was what he said, but not in the context of the question that was asked. Yeah? And we know it. People turn things round. Can't be trusted. What is truth? Truth, it's accurate and is reliable. Truth is exact. There's no deviation from the mark. It's free from error. Jesus is the truth in person. Because of his absolute holiness, it's impossible for Jesus to lie. He can't do it. Because he's truth itself. It's impossible. It can never happen. All the words of Jesus are true and are the ultimate and the final standard of truth itself. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus brings. Which means he's reliable and he is faithful. All that God says, all that Jesus says, is true and will come about. It will happen. Years ago, again, when I was working, people used to often throw in these red herrings about the Bible. Do you really believe in Jonah and the whale? Now, the Bible never mentioned whale, it mentioned fish, but we understand what they mean. We understand, you'd have to get it all right. Do you really believe that? And some of these red herrings thrown in. You know what? The answer is yes. Why? Because Jesus spoke about Jonah. If that had been a myth, he'd have said, ah, no. It wasn't quite like that. When Jesus came, he never altered one word of Scripture. Jesus comes and fulfills Scripture. Not one word was changed. So Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the big fish, Jesus speaks about because it was true. The Word of God is reliable. Jesus spoke about so many of these mighty men and women of the Bible. He speaks about Moses, he speaks about Elijah, he speaks about King David and many, many others. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God breathed. Comes from God. Inspired. This inspired Word of God. Men wrote it down. But it's God breathed. It's the infallible, authoritative Word of God. God has said. God has spoken. And because Jesus is the truth, he reveals the truth about God. He reveals that Jesus really is the Son of God. That Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And all that Jesus says is true. We know there are scriptures such as this in John. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Jesus said that. That is true. That's what we rely on. Not on my good behavior, on the words of Jesus Christ. Is what we rely on. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus says you're free. You're free from your past. You're free from guilt. You're free from punishment and any further accusation. Because Jesus says so. In the Old Testament, this wonderful verse in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. They've been taken away. Taken. We didn't have to hand them. They're taken away. Why? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Washing over us, cleansing us. It's gone. That's why there's no more accusation. John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he's given me. You love Jesus? Jesus has saved you and is continuing to save you and he's never ever going to let you go. I will lose none. Not one of them. Not, oh, well, some might drift. I will lose none of all that he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. That's a promise. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is what Jesus does. That's the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why we can trust in Jesus for salvation, because it's true that he came and lived in this world. It's true that he died as a sacrifice for our sins. It's true that Jesus' sacrifice for sins was acceptable to God. We know it's true because Jesus was raised from the dead. If that sacrifice wasn't sufficient, Jesus would still be dead. It was acceptable to God and he's raised to life. That's how we know. That's how we know. It's true that Jesus is in heaven even now preparing a place for you and me, ready to welcome us into his presence, into the presence of Almighty, Holy, Holy God. His words are true. His life is true. He is truth itself, and as such can be completely trusted as the only true and faithful God. That's why we worship Jesus. That's why it's a morning like this morning. Oh God, we know. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth itself. Let's have a look at life. John chapter 5. For as the Father has life in himself, you've got to get your head round this. So I had to, you probably don't. So he has granted the Son to have life in himself. This is a powerful, powerful piece of scripture. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son to have life in himself. John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life. I found one of the most helpful descriptions, one of the most helpful helps, is a guy called Professor Don Carson. Speaking about John chapter 5, 26, he says this: it's because, like God, he has life in himself. He's speaking about Jesus. God is self-existent. He is always the living God. Mere human beings are derived creatures. Our life comes from God. But to the Son and to the Son alone, God has imparted life in himself. And he goes on to say, this cannot mean that the Son gained this prerogative only after the incarnation. Jesus has life in himself, has always had life in himself. He explains about verse 4. The impartation of life in himself to the Son must be an act belonging to eternity. Yes. Of a peace with the eternal Father-Son relationship, which is itself a peace with the relationship between the Word and God. A relationship that existed in the beginning, like we read in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because Jesus is life, has life in himself, he is able to grant eternal life. And he says this in John chapter 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one, here it is again, no one can snatch them out of my hand. This is wonderful news. Dave referred to this passage last week. Remember about Lazarus had died, and there's Mary and Martha, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. What Jesus is saying is this: death itself will not rob you of all that I have made available for you. Death will not rob you, will not take away what I have promised. That's what Jesus is saying. You cannot be robbed. Because Jesus is life itself, Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the one who sustains life. And because Jesus is life, he and he alone has the power, the authority to grant eternal life. When Jesus grants eternal life, you have a guarantee it will happen. Even death itself cannot, will not stop it happening. And we look at this and think, yes, all of this. But it's also a much greater quality of life. A greater quality of life now. It's not something for the future. It's something we can enjoy now, this moment in time. Because we're brought into a fellowship, this close relationship with Almighty God. And this happens the moment we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that he came and died as a sacrifice for our sins. It's a greater quality of life because Jesus lives within us. It's not just nearby. Jesus lives within us through the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus, before following on from 14 in chapter 17, is praying to God. And he says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Chapter 17. And the end of verse 26 says, that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. When Jesus comes into our lives, we become partakers of Christ and all that means. Everything. Everything. As Jesus comes into our lives, we receive the riches of Jesus Christ. Now that is quality living. It's not about a house. It's all about relationship in and through Jesus Christ. And this love of Jesus, it overwhelms me. The grace and mercy of Jesus blows my mind away. As well as the love of Jesus, the grace and mercy of Jesus, this richness also includes forgiveness. It includes joy. It includes a righteousness. It includes peace, a faithfulness, an acceptance, and so much, much more. As I remain close to Jesus, as I abide in him, the characteristics of Jesus become more and more a part of me and more a part of you. No longer getting by in life or trying to survive somehow, but enjoying a quality of life in and through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. It's not you can have just a little here and I'll share it. You've been given fullness in Christ. This is who we are. This is our identity. This is why we have faith in, we've been given this fullness in Jesus Christ. It's given to us. I choose to live in that fullness or to put it to one side. But there's fullness of Jesus Christ given to us. Fullness means I can't fit any more in. It's full. That's what it should be. Full. When Christ is in me, in all his fullness, I then somehow get a glimpse of the glory of God. And it causes me to stand and say, God, I stand in awe of you, Almighty God. That's what happens. Jesus said also in John chapter 10, verse 10, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. ESV says abundantly. Lots of it. Oh, lots of it. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. I'll end by saying no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Father, Almighty God, we praise you so much for Jesus Christ. Our identity, we know who we are because of Jesus. We know that we're a loved, precious son and daughter of the living God because of Jesus. We aren't what people say we are. We're who you say we are. Loved, precious, set apart. You loved us so much, O God. God, we thank you for such a morning as this. We thank you, precious, precious Holy Spirit. Your presence is just beautiful. Your presence brings a peace. Your presence brings a joy. Your presence brings Jesus. In such a way, everything else fades away into insignificance. God Almighty, we worship you because of your love for us and all that we are in and through Jesus Christ. We leave this place in confidence, confidently knowing you will always be with us. You will always love us. Confidently knowing when we leave this earth, Jesus has prepared a place for us to be with you in heaven itself. God, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.